Every man heard them speak in his own tongue the wonderful works of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I read recently of a religious knowledge poll taken to determine the average American's knowledge of religious facts. One of the questions was, who was Saint Joan of Arc? And it seems that a majority responded that she was the wife of Noah, because Noah built the ark. I hope that none of you are under that misapprehension, but I wonder if all of you know this very great saint whose feast comes up on Wednesday, who so wonderfully illustrates all of the controverted works and ideas of the day, as well as how the Holy Ghost works in our souls. Ours is an age of naturalism. The supernatural is abolished or pushed out of the scene. Saint Joan of Arc was pushed into the scene by the Holy Ghost in a holy, supernatural way in order to carry out God's will. Ours is an age of internationalism with all of the evil forces behind it. But Joan of Arc, inspired by the Holy Ghost, stood and fought and died for her home and her country and her king. She was born during the terrible 100 Years' War, the beginning of the 15th century, 1412, at an era when her own country of France was almost extinguished, destroyed by the invading English. In her own little village, she was very well loved for all of her beautiful virtues, her charity, her generosity, her bravery and purity. One day, the same age as the Blessed Virgin, in her 13th year, just as with Our Lady, she saw a great light and then heard an archangel who came to her with a commission from God. And like Mary, her only question was, quomodo fiat istud, how shall this be? How could this come about? She said, I am to save France and see the king crowned. I can't ride a horse. I don't know how to work a lance or a sword. I don't know these great people. Saint Michael's answer was sufficient for her. It is God who commands it. He would continue to speak to her, Saint Michael would, as well as the saints Catherine of Alexandria and Margaret of Antioch, for the next 6 years, the remainder of her life. She obeyed God's inspiration and command, who gave her secret knowledge and an access to the military commander and finally to the prince. The Dauphin was a weak ruler, kind of a playboy prince, but God wanted to see him duly crowned as King of France, and so she undertook her work to make that happen, with a series of incredible, supernatural military victories, which she, imagine, a teenage girl, planned out herself. One of the generals of the French army later recalled that Joan was, in general, childlike and innocent. But when it came to tactics, maps and battle plans, when it came to leading the troops or inspiring them in a rousing speech, she was the best general anyone had ever seen, because that came directly from the Holy Ghost. She was victorious And in a few months, she leads the Dauphin to the city of Reims, the traditional site of the sacred coronation of the kings of France. She stands next to him as he is crowned, holding her banner with God the Father on it, two angels symbolically presenting France, represented by the fleur-de-lis, and then the holy names of Jesus and Mary written upon it. As the king is crowned, she turns to him and does him reverence, saying, Sire, ainsi s'est accompli le bon plaisir de Dieu. Sire, thus is accomplished the good pleasure of God. Now that was the heart of this little saint and great heroine, not only of one land, but of the whole Catholic Church. Her work was done. She wanted to return to little Domremy, her village, on the border of Burgundy, but it was not God's will that that should be done finally. She fought and predicted by the saints, by her voices. She was captured, sold to the English. They could not openly try her for having beaten them in war, so therefore they accused her of sorcery, that her voices were from the devil and not from God's saints. They had not too much difficulty to find an unworthy bishop. They always abound. And he presided over a mock sham inquisition trial, which found her guilty. She was condemned to be burned at the stake. And she was so afraid, this child was, of fire. Now, the interesting paradox, saints are full of these seeming contradictions, is that she was technically assigned to the flames because of a relapse. That is to say, she had gone back to wearing men's clothing. And yet she dressed as a man for the simple reason of protecting her own purity, for the sake of modesty in the presence of so many men with whom she had to live and fight, and finally by whom she was guarded in prison. But Saint Joan of Arc, unlike some of the modern non-Catholic writers claim, was no proto-feminist or women's liber. Indeed, at her trial, she says, in spinning and sewing, I fear no woman. Chesterton says of her, it was exactly the sort of person who did know why women wore skirts, who was most justified in not wearing one. And so she was taken off on the 30th of May, 1431, to be burned at the stake. And some merciful soldier made her a cross of twigs, which she pressed to her heart. A Dominican held the processional cross at a distance, and with the name, the holy name of Jesus, she gave up her soul. Her mother, some 30 years later, besought the Pope at Avignon to reopen her process. She was exonerated of all of the false charges against her by Calixtus III, and in the last century, it was Saint Pius X who beatified her, and Pius XI who canonized her and declared her to be a patroness of France. A saint because of her heroic virtue, not only her piety and charity and great bravery, but most of all, in imitation of Our Lady, her obedience to God, willingly to accept His will and to allow nothing to get in the way of its accomplishment. But I think that Saint Joan, most of all, should exemplify for us, Catholics of another place and another time, the wonderful gifts of the Holy Ghost. My fear is this, as I give them out in confirmation, that many a young soldier of Christ, or an old one, would consider these gifts too complicated ever to understand, a bit like some owner's manual you might get with some fancy gadget electronic thing you buy for yourself or your children, and you look at all of the instructions, and you just set the booklet aside saying, I need a picture. I could never understand how these work. See the saints and understand how you are meant to work, who have the same gifts, wisdom to recognize, to relish, to appreciate the things that are of God. This idea of God's will drove her. At the very first moment when Michael the archangel came, she desired to consecrate her virginity to our Lord. By understanding, she, an illiterate peasant, had such a grasp of the Catholic faith that she held her own under tricky questioning from bishops and theologians. And she had such a zeal for the spread of the truth that she wrote to the heretics in Bohemia, telling them to give it up, give up your heresy, or else, she says, I'll be visiting you next. Knowledge, by means of this gift, you conceive a right use of creatures, and you're warned of possible dangers. Saint Joan of Arc used so many things well. She was given wealth and beautiful clothing and horses and magnificent armor and fine swords, and she enjoyed them all, but her heart was not in them. She used it because it was part of God's will. The same, they say, with her relationship with men. She was surrounded with men, and yet always a pure virgin, a bit like Saint Catherine of Siena, always modest and reserved, but entirely at her ease. And as we have seen, she had the knowledge of war and how to make it well, successfully. By counsel, she had a supernatural prudence or guidance in the way of recognizing and carrying out God's will. And she recognized, too, that when she departed from His will, she got into trouble. For example, when she was captured, even though heaven said no, she tried to escape. She jumped 60 feet from a tower parapet. She landed on soft turf, miraculously uninjured, but she knew she had sinned, and she went to confession as soon as she could. Fortitude, the gift that is the soldier's virtue, you see in not only her personal bravery, overcoming shyness and the fear of death and of fire and all the rest, but even in the very idea of that she, a little girl, could command the armies of France. She was a brave child, Joan of Arc. Fear of the Lord. She loved our Lord so much she was afraid to offend Him. In fact, when she was hit with an arrow, she didn't pull it out for a long time for fear it should be God's will for her to die. She sought out her confessor and said, Father, if our Lord wants me to die now, I'm ready. But no, my child, he said, pull it out. Go on, fight valiantly. And so she did. But most of all does Saint Joan illustrate the beautiful gift of piety, whereby with tenderness and devotion we acknowledge and do our best for the sources of our existence, God, the Church, our family, our homeland and country, the source of our life. This was the whole of her mission, to obey Almighty God, to save the land of her birth. Piety towards the Church, which she loved so very much. They say that perhaps she was chosen and France was saved because God saw that in 100 years, England, under a different King Henry, would abandon the faith. And our Lord did not want to see His eldest daughter fall into heresy. Rather, in the 16th century, a King Henry of France left Protestantism to return to the Catholic faith. But I think it is most of all in the way of a true patriotism that our saint has something to say to people of every language and nation, as we have represented in the lesson of today's Mass. We are children of the revolution in which we rootless live in an agitated way and move around so much. Beyond even the obvious lesson that Almighty God doesn't generally favor empire builders, see what he did to the English, and that wars are a terrible thing. St. Joan spent a lot of time weeping, you know, when she saw all the tragic deaths about her. Beyond these truths, that war is a punishment for sin, is a lesson about place and home. It is a truth which is easily missed. But note in the lesson of today's Mass, everyone hears the apostles speak in the tongue in which they were born. In our modern world, when you talk about your land, one author says it means little more to most people than a mortgage which you have to pay. But Almighty God loves a particular people and place, like France or the Commonwealth of Kentucky or Cincinnati. And God loves the languages of all of these places, the Kentucky twang and the little German phrases still used in Cincinnati and all of the rest. God loves all of his children in creation. And he wants us to love our land and to be attached to our place, not detached and vagabond, rootless cosmopolites, as they say, upwardly mobile and all of the rest. This piety, this love, feeds true patriotism, and it shows the truth of our real foe. Our real enemy is not poor folk in another land who just want their land too, who perhaps will not accept the presence of foreign troops on their soil any more than our American forebears would, who perhaps just will not accept that foreigners should come and throw them out of their native land because of some claim of blood of long ago. No, they are not our enemies, and pretty much need to be left alone to kill each other in peace, as they have done for so very long. But it is universalism, the one world movement, which drags all of us away from home and faith and family and country. Pray for the poor young soldiers so far away from home. Pray for all of those who have died. Pray for the veterans, especially those who return to our land wounded and permanently maimed. They are forgotten, but they should not be forgotten. But remember, most of all, it is here in our own home and country that we are meant to please God and to save our soul, in this place which is dear to God. This is the whole genius of Christian Europe, constructed by Saint Benedict in his holy rule for monks, who imposed upon them a vow of stability, that they should serve God in one place for the rest of their days. This, too, is inspired by the Holy Ghost. Saint Joan, obedient to her saints, for the sake of this, was willing to leave her little home village and go off to fight a great war. She died for her homeland, and at the same time lonely for the homeland of heaven. At Memorial Day, there is sometimes recited a wonderful poem by Sir Walter Scott. Its words speak to the wonderful example of St. Joan. Breathes there the man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said, "This is my own, my native land," whose heart hath near within him burned, as home his footsteps he hath turned from wandering on a foreign strand. May God bless you, and St. Joan of Arc intercede for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.